Hey everybody, welcome back to the Clever Critters podcast, where we're exploring animal cognition, intelligence, and tool use. I'm Aileen, and I wanted to welcome you guys to episode 3 of this series, where we're going to be discussing The Burning Hunt, The Adventures of the Firehawk. So, before I start, I want everyone to pause this video, just take 2 seconds, think to yourself, why do wildfires spread? So I'll just give you a minute. All right, now that you did that, let's talk about what some of you wrote. I'm sure most of you wrote dry environment, the lack of precipitation, rain, or the climate change that we know so greatly is going on in our modern day. But did any of you write birds is my question. Yes, no, maybe so. I'm not going to judge you. I wouldn't be surprised if you didn't, because I honestly didn't think birds could spread wildfires myself. Until I started to research this topic. So let's get into it a little bit. There are actually a few species of birds, all primarily located in northern Australia. They're called the whistling kites, black kites, or the brown falcons. And these are actually considered firehawks, which is super, super cool. And according to lore, these birds use fire to hunt, and they actually introduce fire to humans. Now that, I think, is absolutely fascinating. Let's get into a little bit of that some more. So the most interesting knowledge about their behavior is that the majority of our understanding in modern-day society, modern-day science, actually comes from the indigenous Australian people. I think this is super important to note because it just shows that we need to step back sometimes as Western scientists and really let the people that have been living in these areas for so long educate us on things that we're trying so hard to understand if we can't really grasp and know the grounds they started on. So these birds are commonly known amongst Indigenous Australian Aboriginal people. The Alawa, Makilmak, and Juan, and other indigenous peoples of northern Australia, whose ancestors actually occupied their lands for tens of thousands of years, and they've known long about the nighthawks and the firehawks' behavior. It's very important to note this, as I said before, as much as the information is new to Western scientists. So here in America, we didn't know all of this before. We weren't 1,000% positive. We just thought it was some funky behavior that they're picking up for God knows what reason, but in actuality, there's a lot of known knowledge about this. We just have to listen to the people who have been around these areas and these birds for so long. Actually, an interesting study was done, guys. It was to examine the behaviors of these animals. It was a team led by very renowned scientists, Fontana and Godsford. They centered their investigation around the tradition indigenous ecology knowledge, which is absolutely fascinating, just amazing to see Western scientists really putting in that initiative to step out of their way and understand and collab with people a little bit more. So what they did is they really wanted to dive deep into the parts of the ceremonial customs, the religious beliefs, and the creation stories that contain the references to all this local knowledge of firehawk behavior. And what ended up being found is that the firehawk's widespread attention offers a chance to examine the disparity between the Western scientists and the start of the acceptance and traditional knowledge and other forms of knowledge that are present. So that was really amazing. A big, big chunk of the understanding of the firehawks were able to be developed from this study that was led by Otana and Godsford, and it's just amazing to really discover what we know. Along with that, a lot of ecologists, biologists, and plenty of other well-respected people have been sources for this knowledge. This includes anything from insights of the significant biological diversity to the therapeutic powers of the plants and other deliberate birding areas where these birds maybe really tune in. For instance, to explain the birds' ways of swooping in, they were really able to look at it from a statistical standpoint and understand the developments they have in their wingspans and such to be able to do this. It was really quite amazing to see all these different kinds of science fields come together to understand the climate and the plants and the development of these birds, to see how they really execute this act. It's quite amazing. So as you can see from this little intro discussion, there's been a great amount of knowledge coming from the indigenous Australian people about these birds. Along with their knowledge, Western scientists have actually been able to get a good grasp of what exactly these birds do. So I've mentioned it a little bit here and there, but let's really get into it. Let me explain it to you guys, because it's super, super cool, and I think this is the epitome of the intelligence and the tool use that animals really use to thrive in their lives. So what these birds do is they're actually able to sense fire from miles away, which I don't know about you, but I'm not very good at that. I only feel the fire coming in when it's burning me up a little bit. So once they notice this, they pick up their speed and they adjust themselves accordingly to swoop down and really pick up that momentum they need to be in and out of the fire successfully. So they swoop down, grab branches, stick, brush, really anything that they can hold with their beak and that's on fire, and they swoop back up into the air. What they do is they fly to another location, near or far. It really doesn't matter. It hasn't been much studies about how they precisely drop this. They just do it in the area that they're very familiar with, the area where they actually know it's dry and they can successfully start another fire. So they drop it down to another, location near far, and they begin the fire. And what they do is they kind of, come back up from the fire so they're not getting hot or whatever, and they watch the area to see their prey completely flee the fire and escape. So imagine you see a bird drop a stick, a giant bushfire starts, and then you see a bunch of little critters running out, and these birds are able to just sit there above the fire a little bit, like tune out where exactly all these little critters are gonna come out, swoop in, grab their prey, and there you go, lunch is served. Am I right? It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy that these birds can detect and gather things from other fires. But if you think about it, it really is like a fascinating behavior that they developed over time. The deeper understanding of why and how they learned this, it's still in the works. Science is always developing. I think it's amazing that we're able to even understand this a little bit, and I think it's amazing what future scientists can really do. And what is known is what they've learned to do to collect food. So my question is what do you guys think about this? What are your thoughts? Do you think this could be a problem for other species in the area? Do you think it could even be a problem for civilization? For example, we know that they've been surrounding all these indigenous Australian people for years, so could this be a problem for them? These factors, that I just asked you guys to think about, scientists ponder the issue of course. The rapid spreading of these fires can obviously cause harm to other species in the areas, especially because of the dry environment where they are in northern Australia. When the hawks spread the fires, they intend to destroy a lot of the land so they could get their prey. But what ends up happening, it destroys a lot of homes and shelters for other animals. Other animals have built their homes there, and I know it's a circle of life, but it's really, when you think down to it, it's could these learned behaviors that they've picked up on so fast actually end up hurting the environment and the animal food chain over time? It can also obviously destroy the food sources for other animals as well. So that's another thing to think about. If these animals can't get their food, how are the hawks eventually going to be able to get theirs? But for years, indigenous people have really tried to coexist with these animals and these behaviors. I think that this is an amazing thing, that we're able to see the Aboriginal people still intertwine with these animals. And it warms my heart being able to understand this knowledge so greatly from the people that have shared with these hawks as their home and their sacred grounds for so many years. I really hope that an expansion of our knowledge is going to be able to continuously come from them. And over the years, recent studies and explorations about how this could be an increasing issue has been talked about. The growth of climate change is another thing that comes into play. That's a huge problem going on. All these fires, could this be in addition to the climate change? So I just want to know what your thoughts on this. You know, do you think this could be a dangerous enough behavior that these birds are actually going to end up hurting the environment they live in? And then eventually themselves, like I just mentioned, the lack of food source or shelter. So yeah, I'm just very interested to know what you guys have in mind. Feel free to drop a comment below or even make another video and add on to this. This is an open education resource, guys. We want to know what your thoughts are. We want to have conversation. And I'm really excited to see what you guys think. I did a deep dive of research, but you know, there's always something I could have missed, or you guys might just have top of the head knowledge as well that I lack. So please, please, please let me know what you think. Leave some comments below. Feel free to reach out to me and enjoy the next episode. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.